For people whose histories are full of heartache, a new name can be a fresh start for a whole new life. But what happens when you hate your new name and want to go back to the old one?
Today, comedian Karma Rae Gold joins us to talk about how she's changing her name back to Karma Nybarger. Because, as they say in French, tout ce qui brille n'est pas d'or. All that glitters is not gold.
Plus, Oprah calls Pete Buttigieg Buddha Beep, Buddha Boop, and he loves it!
Why some LGBTQI plus folks have a problem being called the Q.
Game of Thrones goes dark.
And when vampire facials really suck.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Villian.
And this is Feast of Fun. Blah.
Blah, blah means we talk a lot on the show. These cupcakes are delicious. What do you call them?
Lemon cupcakes.
Oh, how nice. What's the secret ingredient?
Lemon.
Ooh. Was it really a secret ingredient if it's in the title of the...
Yeah, you have to, you know, most people aren't paying attention.
Gotta stay awake, people. Stay awake to what's in your cupcakes.
Woke, wake up, sheeple. There's lemon in those cupcakes. Our guest today is comedian Karma Nybarger, amateur baker.
Amateur baker.
Professional comedian.
Professional comedian.
Because she takes the tips. She shows you what you want to see.
Wait, did you call her? Did you just dead name her?
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
No, you know what? I'm thinking about going back.
What?
To what?
From Rae Gold to just Nybarger.
So the fans of the show, people have been listening for a while. They're like, all right, Karma, we're going to change your name to Karma Rae Gold.
Well, because you were Karma Nybarger.
Yeah.
In your real life. But then you decided I'm going to take a stage name, Karma Rae Gold.
Yeah.
And now you're like, you know.
It's too much. I feel like it's too much because I kind of like waffle in and out of the scene anyway. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I had changed my name, supposedly. On Facebook.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. And
only place where it really matters, right?
Right. And then I'd go to shows and like people who hadn't seen me or maybe they're not avid followers of my feed, they'd be like, and Karma Nybarger. And I'm just like, I'm just sick of explaining it and talking about it. And I'm like,
It's interesting that you like sort of wanting to talk about that and switching. You're sincerely really switching from Karma Nybarger to Karma Rae Gold because you were wanting to invite some type of magic into your life. And names are very powerful. That's people like wonder why Latino and Black people sort of are very inventive with their names.
Yeah.
Right? Like in Puerto Rico, honey, there's nobody who doesn't have a nickname that's like Kuki, Yuyo, Yayo, Yachi, Yaya, you know. Sounds like baby gurgle sounds, right? And for African Americans, you know, it's Shaniqua, Shanewa, Shadidas, and that, you know.
Yeah, very creative.
And part of it is like a new name is a new beginning. And sometimes when you have a painful history or past, coming up with a new name can be a clean start.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted. I really did want a sort of like separation of like, you know, myself with my day job and myself with my family and myself with like my performance and expressive side. But somehow it just kind of fizzled out. Like that new beginning was kind of short-lived. Somehow I couldn't sustain it.
You didn't get the gold in Karma Rae Gold. You're like, I'm supposed to be a millionaire by now.
It's more like pyrite, you know, just like some fool's gold.
I don't know. I kind of feel like if we had to do this podcast all over again, I would start out with a different like last name or something.
Yeah.
For it. Just because it's like, you know, if somebody just Googles my name, they're going to be like, what?
Yeah, I know. I wish I had started out maybe a long time ago. I kind of feel like the ship has sailed or the time has passed for me. I don't know.
How do you think I feel? My real name is Fausto Fernos.
Yeah, it's a great name.
And as a kid, I was just like, people are like, even in Puerto Rico, it's a bit of an unusual name.
Mm-hmm.
And that alliteration.
Yeah.
I have no middle name. Mark added a middle name, calls me Maria.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good middle name.
But that's not really real, you know.
Yeah.
And my father would give me a nickname. He would call me Kermit the Frog. Which is La Rana Renee. or Faustino, which is, you know, in Puerto Rico, we shorten or lengthen your name, you mm-hmm. know, to make it cuter, to make it sweeter and mm-hmm. stuff. But it never stuck. And people just call me Fausto, you know?
Yeah.
And for that, I was like, oh, I hate this name. It's like, it's a difficult name. It's not like Juan or mm-hmm. Pedro or a nice, nice waspy name like Grayson Wagstaff. Chance Crawford. Mm-hmm. You know, like white people have last names for first names, you know? Right. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And for me, I was just like, ugh, I wanted to change my name, and I did, when I was 10 years old, to Alex.
Oh.
This is a story I've never told about anyone on the show. And I went up to my mother, and went to my family, and I said, I have a new name. I'm changing my name permanently, and we're going to do legal documents. And I'm being called Alex. And my mother started laughing.
Well, because you had a cousin, Alexandra, right?
Yes. But it wasn't, I was naming myself after the last Starfighter. The actor, I had a crush on him. And I was like, that seems like a glamorous life, living in a trailer park, playing video games, and then getting whisked off into an intergalactic war and winning.
You're not too far from that right now.
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. And so I was just like, hey, you know, I want to call myself Alex. And so for a good couple weeks, my family were like, hi, Alex, are you ready for dinner? Alex, how's it going, Alex? Alex, Alex. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, my name is Fausto. So what? I cannot change who I am. Now, Uzo Aduba, that's a difficult name.
Mm-hmm.
She did a TED talk about her name.
Ooh.
And she said, you know what? She also wanted to change her name when she was a little girl. And her mother said, your name is a gift that I gave to you. I don't remember what meaning of her name is, but it's a name that her mother thought deep.
Crazy eyes.
And to me, it's like, you know, if you sit back and think about what my name really means, it means to be fortunate. The word Fust comes from the Fausto and Fust share the origin of being lucky or victorious.
Oh.
The word first, fist, you know, woo, I win.
Okay.
So my name literally means lucky, and my last name, Fernos, means to play with fire.
Ooh.
And that is my heritage. And yeah. That is, you know, and I don't believe in names affecting, you know, the rose is, any other rose by any other name would still smell as sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But names are very powerful, you know, and so when transgender people come up with a new name for themselves or an entertainer creates a stage name, it's a really important thing to respect that
mm-hmm.
and to celebrate it. But at the same time, you wake up the next day, you're still you.
Right.
With a different name.
Yeah. And I feel like as much, personally, like as much as I wanted to sort of separate the sort of like mm-hmm. me from the entertainer,
yeah,
I can't. It's all mushed up together. You know,
you can't escape from who you are.
No, I can't.
And you know what? We love you for exactly the way you are right now.
Aw, thank you.
I like Karma Nightbarger. I also like Karma Ray Gold. Mm-hmm. And whichever you decide to call yourself today,
whichever
is
day
okay
of the
by
week.
Me.
Is Ray your actual middle name?
Yeah,
or no?
That's okay. my real middle name. And I've always liked
that. So it's
that.
Karma Ray Nightbarger.
Yeah.
You could just be Karma Ray.
Yeah, but then I feel like I'm copying Issa Rae, and there are enough, like, other...
Who
like,
the hell's that?
You know she wrote Insecure.
Oh, and Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah,
Carly. There's so many people. Ray Ray Thompson.
Ray Ray.
Norma Ray is who Norma I always think Ray. Of when I think of you.
Yeah, that's a cool chick.
And all the way... and Club Kid All the Way Ray, who married Teriyaki.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
So the word, you know, the word Ray has good history and good company, but, you know.
It does. And it's a good word, you know, like Ray of Sunshine and blah, blah, blah.
Mark, did you ever want to change your name when you were a kid and throughout your life? Or were you very happy? Because you have the C in your name.
Mm-hmm. I mark with a C. And so it was always, you know, I always had to correct people and say it was with a K. And so I learned from a very young age just to like to not really worry about it too much because it's not really important mm-hmm. unless it's on like a legal document.
Right.
You know, and then it should definitely be a C. But, you know, my last name is a little awkward, too, for a lot of people. They always want to pronounce it Filion or Phalion or Filion. You know, it's Filion. My dad would say Filion.
Mm-hmm. And so rhymes with million.
Rhymes with million.
Mm-hmm. Or billion.
Or feline.
Or trillion.
you know? And so they would always like misspell it too. So I was like, it would be nice to have something a little shorter, but then I'm like, how would I make that shorter?
And one of the things that I've spent a lot of time in the 14 years of doing this podcast is getting Mark to pronounce his name.
Because I do it very fast. I go, Mark Fillion.
Yeah, you are really fast with that.
And he's just like, you should sell it, Mark Fillion.
Mm-hmm. It's like, a beautiful name and a beautiful voice and a beautiful man.
Yeah.
And I noticed this with performers and artists is that when they stand on the stage and they're like, hi, my name is Fausto Furnos. It's sending a subconscious message to the audience. I don't deserve your attention because I don't feel like I deserve it. And Mark, you know, I think, and you guys who listen to the show weigh in on this. Is Mark a different person after Alt for Norge or not? I think he is. You really changed like from in the days going up to Norway. And then when you came back and part of it was like, it was this.
Is this an intervention?
No, I'm just pointing this out to people. It's like, you know, the way you pronounce your name and you listen to the old shows is very different from the way you pronounce it today. And that is a change in your demeanor and the way you value yourself as a person.
Okay.
And my mother is the one who pointed this out because she listens to the show.
Aww.
Even though she has like, you know, very short attention span, but she does tune in from time to time.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, Mark is a different person. And so what I'd like to present to people out there is like, not just what your name is, but how you think about your name and how you say your name to other people really can have a profound impact on your life because it's how you think about yourself. Do you deserve attention? Do you deserve to be heard? And some people don't, you know, and some people have been trained to think that they're not valuable as human beings.
At first I thought you meant some people don't deserve to be heard.
No, I never said that.
Attention, and I was like,
it's me, Fausto Furnos from Piece of Fun. I've spent 2,000, how many shows have we got?
With 2,700.
2,700. I've interviewed more people. I was like, we went to watch that Mr. Rogers documentary and I was like, he's only done 78 shows or something. I was like,
you've surpassed one of your heroes.
Yeah, you know, and part of it. Look, I have it thanks to Ritz.
Aww,
Rita Sanchez. She sent me a card of Mr. Rogers that I put next to the computer.
Well, that's awesome.
To remember to tell people who you are is good enough, and we love you exactly the way you are.
And I'm into fisting.
Because he's holding a King Friday puppet in his hand.
He's got his fist up that puppet.
When you watch stand-up comedians introduce themselves or when they come onto the stage, does the name matter to you? Do you sense like there's a shift in the way you think about what they're going to say next after they're like, hi, my name is Tom Jones. What is it about 7-Eleven Slurpees, huh? You know, I'm trying to do 80s comedian.
You know what? I don't think it does. I don't think I've ever, like, you know, like, as far as, like, the name, I don't think I've ever had a sort of, like, uh-oh, this guy, Tom Jones, I know what that means, Slurpees, you know? Like, it's been, like, Tom Jones, that could be anything. He could talk about anything.
But the name doesn't affect the way you think about them, is what you're saying.
Right.
If they're like, hi, my name's Doug. Or, hi, my name's Doug.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is, like, usually the host, you know,
the
introduction, and then, like, they don't say their name again. But maybe I'm like, maybe I should start saying my name again.
Yeah, do it all the time. Be like, my mom said, hey, Carmen Nybarger, what are you doing? And so I told her, Mom, why do you always use my whole name, Carmen Nybarger? And that way they'll remember who you are, and they'll be like, that Carmen Nybarger sure was funny, because her mom said she was funny, right?
I don't know what she said, but I remember her name. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think that's ever, I have noticed when people like say their name at the end of their set, I'm always like, oh, that's professional.
So when you're in bed with your boyfriend, does he call out Carmen Nybarger or does he say Carmen Ray Gold?
It's just a.
So my name in bed is.
I'm gonna come.
Yeah,
I gotta pull out.
That's pretty much it. That's
you.
That's yeah.
I like you.
Cosby, I've got to come.
Yeah, Mark has a million nicknames though. Like Elvez called him Marquitos.
Oh, I have a lot of Latinos cute. Friends that call me Marquitos.
Yeah. Marquitos. And when I saw that on a CD, I was like, oh, I'm going to use that one.
Yeah, that's my friend Gisella used to call me that, and I cooks at work would call me that all the time.
Marcon.
No, they wouldn't say that.
Yeah, that sounds too much like Maricon, which is a, you know. Sorry. Lady Bunny.
No, I don't know what that is. What is it?
Maricon is a, it's kind of like faggot in Spanish, you know, Maria. Okay. Is it's a like Maria's, you know, the mother of Jesus, uh-huh. right? And then con, I don't know.
O-N on the end of things makes it big. In French, yeah. O-N on the end of things, like my last name, O-N, makes uh-huh. it diminutive. It's like oh. young, like young son or something mm-hmm. like that is what it means. And then, but when you do it in Spanish, it makes it big. So like if you call somebody a cabezón, it means they have a big head.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, in Latin America, there's all kinds of words for, like, queer people that don't translate to English, you know? Mm-hmm. There's chupamiel, which means, and picaflor, to suck honey or to pick at the flowers. They're both words for hummingbirds.
Oh.
So the hummingbird is very used, very interchangeably.
Yeah.
So Lady Bunny, and you know, and one of the biggest debates in like names and identities and words is the, and I guess I have to use the word to explain it to people, but this is a word that used to be very commonplace in LGBTQ circles. And in the past decade, and if you listen to older versions of our shows, we used to use the word tranny very often with our transgender guests. They call themselves that. And that became a pejorative word that's not very comfortably used, you know? And so recently Lady Bunny was being asked about that change, that shift. And she's like, I'm just fine with, can I read that quote yeah, there?
From Them Magazine.
Yes. If someone wants to walk around looking for insults where none was intended, that's their right. I would much rather be approachable. How would they know my preferred pronoun is if we've never even seen each other? They don't just make good music like they used to. You know, Jennifer Hudson, she could throw down with the rest of the divas.
Okay, get back on track, lady.
But one thing she'd rather not be called, though, is queer. A term that she and many others have perceived all our lives as a slur. Lady Bunny does not want to use the word queer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm like, that word, you know, we sometimes receive negative feedback from our listeners when they were like, you know, and even Matt Brown's like, queer. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that, you know, scientists, cultural anthropologists, academics settled that question, and they use that is the word they use in academia to describe.
Yeah, they say queer, like women in queer studies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That is the word they're using. Now, that's an interesting thing, is that, like, in academic circles, queer is perfectly acceptable. Mm-hmm. In outside of academic circles, that's a little bit more pejorative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of older LGBT people that have never really felt comfortable with the word queer because, like, that was the slur used against them to the day. But, you know, mostly, like Lady Bunny, for example, she doesn't want to be called the word queer, and so I wouldn't call her queer. She didn't mm-hmm. want that because I respect people when they do that kind of thing. But I think it's interesting that she'll use every other slur word out there and just
fag, bitch. Poor cunt.
But this word, you know, and then it's you know, it's interesting how we all have like our own little lines that we don't want crossed, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. but we feel very comfortable crossing other people's lines.
Right, right.
Or snorting them. Just kidding. Mm. I don't do drugs anymore.
But I don't have a lot of respect for Them Magazine or what, they're owned by Condé Nast. Is that who they are?
Yeah, it's kind of like a right wing, we call that stealth journalism.
Yeah, it's like a lot of these things, sometimes they write these things in the idea that they're, you know, talking, exposing things to the community, but they're also putting little things in there that are divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not necessarily like, you know, the GOP said, oh, we need to fund a magazine that, you know, makes LGBT people fight each other. Mm-hmm. I think more of this is a phenomena that, like, controversial content on the internet gets people very hot into the collar, and they start sharing stuff, and then they start, you know, discussing it. And then that leads to traffic. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately the state of journalism today is you almost kind of have to be like a gangster rapper and start a, a diss track about something, instead of just, having a conversation and being, a little bit more cool-headed about it.
The far right has a lot of different think tanks, and there's a lot of people putting out a lot of different ideas together, and they're working with the Russian troll farms and figuring out a lot of these things. So you say that you don't think it works like that, but there is probably in some ways some kind of component that they know that, like, if we do something like this that is divisive, it will drive traffic and will further divide communities and not bring them together. Because I'll give you one example. There was recently, Pete Buttigieg, who's the gay mayor from South Bend, Indiana, and he's running for president. And recently it was uncovered that, like, these GOP strategists were trying to get this guy to come forward and say that Pete Buttigieg had sexually assaulted him, because, like, they took advantage of him when he was too drunk. And there was even some kind of article, like, with this dude's name on it, and he's, denied any kind of thing with it. But, that's part of their success. What the GOP is looking at is they're trying to take this hashtag, like, Me Too movement, and see how it's ruined careers, and then throw that at the Democrats. So they were hoping, because they view this guy from a relatively smallish city, South Bend, Indiana, only 100,000 people, running for president of the United States. They view him as a credible threat against Trump.
Well, the story is even more crazy. It was can you pull up the name of the huckster that he contacted? This conservative gay guy who's really young, and said, we need to form a resistance to the Democratic Party. And he's a Republican. And he's like, okay, I'm good with that, And one thing led to another. And they're basically, you're going to come out in public and say that Pete Buttigieg sexually assaulted you. And he's like, I'm not comfortable with that. And he, cut contact with them. And that was the end of it. And then they took his name and his Facebook photo, and on Medium.com, which you can post any article you want to, posted this article in his name, in his words, saying that he was sexually assaulted by Pete Buttigieg. And then the guy in the next day is like, I didn't say any of that. These guys are crazy. They're trying to do this to, they were doing, and this is the same people that are doing to the Robert Mueller, to try to discredit him as well. They were doing this in October
of this past year. This is wild.
Yeah.
Hunter Kelly is the kid, the guy's name.
But the guy who actually is doing it.
Oh, the guy who's actually doing it?
Yeah.
Berkman and Wall.
Wall, that's him. And so he's one of those Republican stooges. But the thing about with all this is that, even though there's a lot of money to be made, a lot of political change to be fought against by getting people to argue against with each other, the reality is, if you want to get people talking about your reality TV show, your podcast, or a good, cheap, quick way to do it is just to start, insulting people. Yeah. And Mark and I, in our history, we've faced a lot of people wanting to start fights with us publicly.
Mm-hmm. Especially very on in the podcasting scheme, in the first few months, people are just like, we should fight with each other so that people pay attention to us. And so we were like, so we kind of bought into that, but we soon realized that it was just so occupying such a negative space.
Yeah.
That it was hard. And it was just like, do we really want to emulate these shock jocks that were popular at the time?
Well, and I have a goal, Feast of Fun about telling the story of marginalized artists and lifting their voices up, contextualizing their story with news and ideas and commentary. And that, when you start fighting with people and starting to do diss tracks and stuff like that, it's going to get in the way.
Exactly.
We can't have a conversation anymore. We're just, Karma Ray Gold, she likes to stick her fingers in hot dog buns at the grocery store at night, and nobody catches her.
Sniffs them and runs away.
Yeah. She takes buffalo wings from the all-you-can-eat buffet bar, and she doesn't pay for them.
She eats them in her shopping cart and leaves the bones behind the mayonnaise jars.
Oh, you guys know me too well.
This is what I went to. Our grocery store sells fried chicken in a bag that doesn't sell, and they discount it. And I'm like, discount fried chicken in my shopping cart. And I get out of the gym, and I'm like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
So I'm shopping around this grocery store, and I'm with a drumstick in my hand. And the security guard looks at me. He's like, are you going to pay? He doesn't dare come up to me and be like, sir, are you going to pay for that? But I'm like, I know he's thinking it, you know? And some people will go crazy. Like, and I know my white privilege, I can get away with eating fried chicken in a grocery store and not get into trouble. But you go on YouTube, you will see, like, you know, teenage black kids eating grapes.
Yeah.
And people and are like, those grapes are, for you are stealing when you eat those grapes. I'm like, honey, everybody, they're literally out there.
Everybody eats the grapes.
They want you to eat the grapes, so you buy the grapes because they're expensive and they make money. They're high profit margin things. That's why they're in the front of the grocery store.
I kind of want to buy some grapes now. Don't grapes sound good?
Yeah, but you know what I do when I'm checking them out? I start eating the grapes. So they weigh less.
Yeah.
And then they're like, tricks on you, honey. You're paying for the bag, not the weight. speaking of Cardi B is trying to copyright.
I heard that. What's
I wonder how that's going.
Ain't gonna go very far.
Too.
I wonder, like, is she? How is she? The thing is, though, like, it depends on what kind of context you're copywriting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It might be in relation to something else. You know what I mean. You can't just copyright that because people have been doing it. But if you do it in relationship to something else that she's done.
I want to copyright for smartphone cases, perfume, bath bombs, hair extensions, inflatable toys.
I kind of do want a cell phone case that says okr.
Make it your ringtone.
Some people can't do it.
I know.
Can you do it?
I mean,
try it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
Mark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
What?
Do try it.
Okay.
He can't.
You gotta practice.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like as Cardi B calls it, a sick pigeon. Okr.
It's like a sick pigeon.
Did you see Endgame?
No, I didn't see Endgame.
Okay, well, Faust and I saw it. Well, we're trying to get Brian on the show to talk about it. Mr. Sweeney, who's our comic book nerd. Now, you've been watching Game of Thrones?
No. I watched last season. I watched all the other seasons. And then, like, last season, I don't know what happened, but I got pissed off. And I was like, I'm done.
You're done. You're like, I'm not going to see how this ends. Season 8. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Aww.
So I'm right there with you. Like, if there's no dragons on the TV, I'm not watching.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. When the one dragon died, I was like, fuck this shit.
The dragons are the most interesting thing about the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, the weird thing about it is, like, sometimes people are complaining that, like, it's too dark. Like, this last episode, you couldn't see anything.
Well, you can't see anything ever on that show.
But in other episodes, they're saying it's not dark enough because there's no people of color on it.
Or
if they do, they're, like, they're portrayed as barbaric or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, they said this episode is not dark enough. But and then, of course, the first thing they do is they pretty much kill off all the dark people, the Dothraki. They were all sent off and, like, were basically killed by the White Walkers.
That sucks. Those people were awesome.
Yeah. And sexy and in
those,
their furs,
like,
right?
Those ladies, too. They were real sexy, too. Those, like, lady warriors.
I think it's time to end Game of Thrones.
Well, of course, it's season.
I don't want to sound like Luke Skywalker and The Last Jedi, but it's time to end the Jedi.
I think there's only three episodes left, right?
Couldn't end soon enough. I'm sick of hearing people talk about it.
I'm a huge fan of the show. I love the show, but I also too am kind of like ready for it to be. I want this story wrapped up. They've stretched out a little too long.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I color correct video and photographs. Mm-hmm. That's what, like, people ask me, like, what do you do, like, in terms of production with Cooking with Drag Queens and Feast of Fun? I would say a good 20% of my time is spent color correcting things. And I'll be the first one to admit I'm not that good. But then I'll watch a movie or a TV show where the color correction or the exposure is all fucked up. And I was like, you know, the whole internet was just exploding. Like, what the hell happened with Game of Thrones? The last episode, it seems like somebody hit a knob with their elbow and knocked over coffee all over it or something. You know, it looked wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was super dark.
It's really exciting when something goes wrong on a TV show, technically. Mark and I used to be fans of this reality TV. Not a reality TV show. Well, it was kind of a reality TV show. It was called Earth Final Conflict. And it was done by Gene Roddenberry's son, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was
based on a story that Gene Roddenberry wrote.
The creator of Star Trek, and it was these gender-neutral space aliens who had lost the ability to replicate, to breed, mm-hmm. and they came to Earth because they wanted babies, you know.
Oh.
And so...
We want babies.
And they had these very strange gender-neutral voices, and they moved... They cast flamenco dancers to be the aliens, you know.
Okay.
So they all kind of moved real weird and mm-hmm. stuff, and one episode... They just didn't pitch shift their voices. So it was the actors' real voices. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I don't remember that episode.
And, subsequent airings of it, they fixed it. But it was like, because, you know, we were on top of it. We mm-hmm. were watching every single episode, you know. And to me, it was always exciting when something like that, you know, you think like there's all this money being poured into these very technically complex shows, but it's usually one person's job to pitch shift. What is that? T'Pol? What was their names?
Don's
name, voice.
I missed that show, but it devolved into like, it got terrible. But what's wonderful about it now that I go back and look at it is like when the aliens first land is like, you see, it's like, they've got like the trans flag basically hanging in the background and stuff.
Yeah.
And this is 1999. I didn't even know the trans people had their own colors or maybe they're even their own flag at the time. And so, but now
the Talon's flag was a trans
basically
flag.
It was the trans colors. Yes.
Yeah. Like, folks, if you guys have not watched two TV shows that Mark and I are obsessed with to this day, that is Earth Final Conflict, mm-hmm. the first
season or two.
Four seasons, right?
Yeah,
it all goes downhill after, and this is a spoiler alert, because it's a soap opera.
Basically.
And should I spoil it for the listeners?
Don't spoil it.
Well, there's a moment where we find the real relationship between two surviving aliens.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's totally like Mexican soap opera.
Yeah, it's Italian novella in space.
In space. So there's that. And then the other show is Cleopatra 2525.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
So it's Charlie's Angels, the Terminator, all scrambled
in
up.
In the future.
A stripper named Cleopatra goes in to get a boob job.
Mm-hmm.
That's the premise of the show. And she accidentally gets put under and wakes up in the future. And Cleopatra is about to discover there's no place like home. In the year 2525, there are women who keep hope alive, joining forces to regain the earth, looking ahead to humankind's rebirth.
Sung by Gina Torres.
Whoa.
Lauren Fishburne's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, honey. And so
awesome.
So the three, the two future warriors and Cleopatra, who's the ditz, you know, she's mm-hmm. she's a stripper who got a boob job, wakes up in the future, and she's like, oh, well, fuck. Machines have taken over the world, you know,
Cleopatra,
and mankind's driven underground.
Discover.
Yeah, mankind has driven underground.
Ooh.
And Cleopatra is about to discover there's no place like home.
No place like home.
So a man in Western Pennsylvania is accused of flushing his grandparents' ashes down the toilet. I guess he was living with his mother and she stored the ashes in her bedroom and then she kicked him out and then now she can't find them. And he denies flushing them down the toilet to the police, but he did tell her that, like, someday I'm going to flush your ashes down the toilet. Imagine what a mean thing to say to your mother. I'm going to flush your ashes down the toilet.
That's so, like, creatively mean.
Well, I'm a little confused here. So who's he in trouble with? Because she's gone. She's
no,
ashes.
The mother is alive.
Oh.
It's her parents.
Oh, yeah. I see.
His grandparents. He flushed them down the toilet. So she says.
Hmm.
Yeah, my half-sister, she keeps my dad's ashes in her living room.
Does she still have them?
Yeah.
I thought they were interred somewhere.
I hope there are. I don't know. I'm mm-hmm. not sure what she's doing with them, but for a while, it's like visiting her, she'd open the box and be like, smell it inside.
It smells like poppy.
Smells like that. And you know what? It did. It smelled like Old Spice.
Whoa.
I think she bought a bottle of Old Spice
and
started shaking it into the ashes.
Seeing.
He's with us.
Yeah.
Or the people who create the ashes just stick a scent.
Yeah.
That they think looks like, you know. He looked like a man who had some Old Spice.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, if you were turned into ashes, you'd smell like lemon cupcakes.
Yeah, better.
Mm.
Oh, I remember karma.
So the VIP spa in Albuquerque, New Mexico is the people are saying that they've given people HIV through their vampire facials. Are you familiar with vampire facials?
You taught me them.
Oh, I did?
And I've got one of those little like roller.
That's not what that is.
No. That's something a little different. That's okay. Microneedling. But it's kind of, okay. You know, it kind of has some of the same. So the vampire facials is where they take like your own platelets from your body and then inject them back into like your face.
Yes. Okay.
Your plasma. They pull out your blood. They separate the blood from the plasma and they stick the plasma back in to ignite the collagen process. Mm-hmm. And Kim Kardashian swears by it. She's the one who's kind of mainstreamed it. She probably got paid to promote it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that went to this, the VIP spa.
Got HIV.
They took a wrong turn
at Albuquerque.
They're like, I wanted VIP, not HIV.
Oh, that sucks. And so it's expensive.
Dirty needles. Avoid those Sharon needles, honey. Doesn't end well ever. I don't want to be laughing at somebody's, you know, HIV status and stuff, misfortune. But I'm more laughing at the incompetence and greed of these of these beauty clinics. But like, I got some free Botox for my birthday.
Ooh.
And I went to the Botox clinic, and I was like, and you know, when someone gives you like a coupon for free Botox, you're like, no, it's okay. I don't
really need it.
And, you know, Mark's like, get it. That's right. He'll do it. So I went there, and they were like, there were these like Russian fembots.
Oh, yeah.
With great tits.
Yeah.
Their faces, you know, stretch back, blonde. They look like the sex workers at a club for Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah, no. One of my coworkers, she's Ukrainian, and that's like her goal is to look like a Russian fembot. Like, she's got this picture of some Russian 50-year-old lady who's got like her face all like, you know, like smooth and beautiful and tits up and out to there, and she's like, "This, if she can do it, I can do it." And I'm like, she's had a lot of surgery and Photoshop done, man.
Like, Photoshop is free. I like Photoshop.
Yeah.
I got it, and she was like, she was looking at me and just tearing my self-esteem apart, you know.
Well, in a customer service.
And as a customer service way, you know. Mm-hmm. She's being kind of a little bit shady. She's like, the aging process is not good for the face. And we're going to do lots of work with you this year. I'm going to sign you up for a package. And I was like, honey, I'm not, you know, made out of, I don't have any money.
I got this free coupon.
Yeah. I got a gift certificate.
Mark, is there any place you can travel to get really, really cheap Botox? That's why I want to know. Listeners out there,
you're going to go to Tijuana and you're going to come back with like half of your face melted. You're going to have like a,
it's just a little botulism, right? Just a little poison.
Which is just have a pumping party.
Well, they also have something else, like it's not Botox. They have something they say it's good, better for men or something like that. I don't know.
Rejuvederm. Restylane. Magic Love.
My lips plump, so they're big like Alaska Thunderfucks.
I need more lip gloss to gloss these beautiful big lips. You know, they sell prosthetic lips.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, like, so you can get, like, Amanda Lepore lips.
You just pop them on?
Yeah, you just glue them on with, like, spirit glue. And Pearl from RuPaul's Drag Race, she used to be a well-known drag queen here in Chicago, moved to New York, and in the process of moving to New York, got on Drag Race, made it to the top three.
Oh, hell yeah.
And she's somebody I traded dick pics with on Grindr, but I didn't keep them.
Well, dang.
I could have posted them on the internet and made some money.
Yeah.
But she got us a set of those lips, and she did this like, I'm so gorgeous. Look at this. Look at my face. It's so beautiful. She did this whole character of this like South Beach crazy beauty blogger, and I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
I was like, Pearl, I fucking love you so much. And she's like, yeah, thanks. That's the thing is like with these drag queens is like sometimes you like you can praise them, you can love them. And they're just like, yeah, I know. You can stand in line at RuPaul's DragCon. It's $85. 30 seconds with me. It'd be great. I love you, Pearl. You're the most amazing drag queen. Oh, my God. That was so funny. Yes, loca. Next. Smile for the camera.
Next.
That's a tough thing. It's like these girls get so famous.
Yeah.
They have like 500 people with, you know, literally with thousands of dollars in their hands just throwing it at them.
Yeah.
They're like, I saw you on TV. I must have a photo with you.
Yeah, it must be difficult to process, really, you know.
I'm like, honey, I'm very comfortable with people throwing money at me.
Yeah, but
I'm very comfortable with that.
You know,
make
like,
it rain, baby.
I think it would be hard to, like, you know, sort of, like, know when a compliment is sort of genuine and when it's just,
Does it matter? Some
gushing. So I'm just kind of like, maybe that's why the response is kind of like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because you're like...
But I'm somebody they know beforehand, you know.
Gotcha.
You know. Yeah. And my opinion matters because I'm in the same boat as they are.
No, you're right. I see this difference now.
I'm a queen who creates content.
Compelling content.
Compelling content. Compelling content.
You can visit me on my Just for Fans, where I do my mukbang, naked, nude mukbang videos, and I eat fried chicken at the grocery store. The security guard is one of my biggest fans, so he lets me eat whatever I want. I don't have to pay for it.
You should do that. Just video you go to the grocery store.
The original opening title credits of Cooking with Drag Queens, we just went into the grocery store and we're like started filming ourselves eating stuff off the shelves.
There's really good light in grocery stores.
Yeah.
My God, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, same with like
it's right up there with bathroom
laundromats.
Lighting. Yeah.
Laundromats always are very, very bright.
Yeah.
What's new in the comedy world? Is any people getting druggy these days or anything?
What's the latest guy?
What do you mean by people getting drugged these days?
Who's the latest sexist pig that people are trying to lynch?
You know, I can't name names.
Okay. But there's always somebody,
There's
always some jerk that's hanging around the scene. Yeah. People are like, oh my God, this creep.
This guy again. Yeah. No, I actually have kind of been taking a break from, like, you know, going to the mics and, like, really being involved in the scene. So I really, like, I don't know the gossip. I'll have to, like, start going out to the bars more often.
When do you go?
Never.
Never? But when you did go, when did you go?
Well, it's because, like, Fausto and I, we went into a thing, there was some drag queens at this event we went to, because we went to go see Disasterina!
Disasterina!
Who's going to be on an upcoming episode of Cooking with Drag Queens.
Ooh.
Yes. And if you're on Patreon, you get to see it before people do.
And she's on season 2 of Dragula. So, we thought, hey, she's in town. She's not in town very often. Let's pop by and see her. And we went and it was just like, oh, my God, all these drag queens I hadn't seen in forever. So I'm just like, what's the tea? What's going on? What's new? And they're just like, someone like, well, first of all, I don't know half the girl drag queens here. Every day there's new drag queens popping up on the scene. And I'm just like, yeah, it's hard to keep track of them, you know? And they're just like, oh, my God, tell me what. I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been doing this for 15, like, you know, covering it for 15 years. It's just, you know, you just never know. It's always, always somebody new.
Yeah, my name is Paradise Nettles.
It's not a good drag name.
No, my name is Peaches McGillicuddy. Trisket Gozinia. No, the drag queens all have very, like, very, very, like, they all look like as if Trixie Mattel and Alaska had a baby.
Yeah.
You know, so they're trying to dress like blonde socialite clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of copy each other, too. So it's not, this but, is a different generation of drag queens. It is more like... Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Where they all kind of try to dress like each other and then they sort of gang on somebody and they're like, on Wednesdays, we wear pink. You know? That's the vibe I'm getting from them, you know? And then there's the other drag queens who are like real. I would say that, you know, they're trying to make art. Mm-hmm. Everybody's making art.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a real artist. But somebody's actually like, their goal is to do...
They're like pushing it more, maybe?
Their own path, their own voice, right? And they're not about conforming to somebody else or sort of, matching an ideal. They're just doing their own thing, you know? And that's who's going to get celebrated. That's because that's going to be different from the crowd.
For sure. But, you know, I mean, the looks that are turned out these days are just so incredible. I think because, you know, people have access to drag and seeing drag and, you know, Instagram, YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff like that. There's no excuse anymore to look like a booger queen unless you really want to look like a booger queen, you know, and all drag is valid. But I just,
Mark.
Yeah. What's your excuse?
Well, you know, I always look good, don't I? I always look cute.
Yeah, because you always got somebody else to do your makeup.
Snap
read.
I know.
Where's my fan?
I don't like.
Oh. It's broken. But anyway, but it's like it's incredible to be in that
rat
kind
to
of
filth
and that kind of space to see so many drag queens that have just put so much effort and so much look my time into a look. Whereas, you know, 20 years ago, that was really hard to come by to be in a space like that where everybody was just so like on point.
But it is like Stepford Wives.
Yeah, in many ways. Yeah.
You know, I'm like there. I think there were like 35 blonde women. You know, with the same Trixie Mattel makeup and the same nightgown, you know, pastel colors, and this look like they've been lobotomized, you know? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they don't smile for, because they're gender warriors, and warriors do not smile for cameras.
Oh, snap. Okay.
And I never got it. I was like, why is this scene, like, in all their Instagram photos, they look like they're, you know, somebody removed the medulla oblongata or something. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, well, what's really funny about this party, too, is the theme was pajama party. So girls kind of came in their somber, or like their pajama looks. Mm-hmm. And then they decided to have a pillow fight, right?
Never ends well.
At a bar.
Drunk drag queens in a pillow fight.
And so all these pillows were open and like feathers just went everywhere. And I don't think the actual staff that was hired, like that worked at this bar and stuff like that, was in any way prepared that something like this was going to happen because there was just feathers everywhere. And they were literally like sweeping up feathers and like looking at it like, oh my God, we sweep this pile of feathers. And now what? There's just more feathers more feathers. And it's just like, I bet you if we walked into this bar, into that bar, like how many days later, like today, and they'd still be, we'd still be able to find feathers somewhere.
Yeah, probably in 10 years, there's going to be feathers.
Yeah, glitter is the herpes of arts and crafts. Feathers that too, honey.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I noticed that some of the drag queens were even inhaling them. And they're like, yeah, it was like,
if you get a feather up your nose, you're just like, oh.
Yeah. It affected me. You know? I was like, girl, I feel like Dumbo.
Holding
hey,
on
Dumbo,
to your little.
You're flying without your magic feather.
Did anybody see the new Dumbo movie?
No.
I wanted to see it. I just didn't have time. I'll wait for Netflix. But it's not coming to Netflix because Disney's starting their own Netflix.
Oh.
Ugh.
Whoever gets a Disney thing, share us your
password. Yeah. Yes, queen.
Yeah.
Do you think I want to get listeners to weigh in. If I start talking like, you know, urban drag queens, like, yes, queen, welcome to Feast of Fun. My name is Faustina. And you're listening to the show. Oh, I just knocked something over. Would we get more listeners, more Patreon? Follow me on Patreon. I'll post anything.
Ooh, anything.
Anything to entertain you.
Ooh.
Let me entertain you. Let me make you mine.
Smile.
Smile, let me. How does the song go?
Let me do a new trick. It's a new trick. I'm very versatile.
There we go.
I get horny. And I make photos.
Very versatile. I'm horny.
I can never, like, I have friends who are like, do those just for fun things. And I know they they're mad at me because I don't take it seriously. And I'm like, it's just because you're naked and you're having sex, you know, you're still creating content.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
It's the same thing as, you know, somebody, you know, like what we do, right?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you know, if you want to talk about it, you know, I'm curious to hear your perspective and stuff like that. And they're just like, I am a sex artist.
Okay.
You know, like they take themselves very, very seriously and they don't want to be playful or fun or even joke around about it, you know?
Well,
takes all kinds.
I guess.
I'm here eating lemon cupcakes. I mean,
Are there any more of those left over?
Yeah.
Will you post the recipe on the side? I'm not kidding, girl.
Grow your lemons.
Step one, get some lemons. Squeeze them.
Squeeze them.
With your titties.
Ew.
And make some juice. And then pour it onto the cake batter that you bought at the store.
You know what? I did add lemon curd to the batter because I didn't feel like it was lemony enough.
It never is.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Yeah.
It was a huge disappointment. Like, I thought it was going to be just bursting with lemon.
No, they're so cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about box mix.
Yeah, box mix. Yeah.
Yeah, they're evil.
Yeah, they are.
And lemon costs money.
Yeah, but like, shit, I'd have bought another lemon and squeezed it in or something if I'd known it was going to be.
You know, you take the lemon zest. That's where a lot of the lemony goodness is. Or just get some lemon extract.
Yeah, or either way, I would have done something.
Lemon zest, lemon extract, and lemon juice.
I like it.
Get the recipe, lemon pound cake cookies, on patreon.com/feastoffunhoney. Mm. Just for a couple of dollars a month, honey, you get yourself some good shit. You eat it, get nice and thick, and get your Just for Fans numbers go up. Because, honey, we want you to be healthy.
Yeah.
Eat things.
Yeah.
Karma, it's so much fun to play around with you. And
this is lovely.
Whatever name you want to use. It's Karma Ray Gold, okay, or Karma Nybarger. I love you just the same.
Aw, thanks.
What name are you using?
What should we do for the show?
I'd probably do Nybarger. Maybe this will be my official...
Your comeback show? Nybarger, Karma...
My re-coming out.
Well, it's better that they come on your back and not your face.
How about Narma Kybarger?
Narma Kybarger.
I'm Karma Nybarger.
Something.
Flarger Marger.
Flarger Marger.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support, so if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
That's right, honey. Without your munty hunty, we can't do Feast of Fun tea. We rely on your support. We really do. It costs a lot of money to do this show. And it's not, you know, it's literally just a lot of internet hosting right now. For my birthday, I did a Facebook fundraiser. And if you want to just make a donation, one-time donation to help pay for our internet hosting costs, just go to feastoffun.com/donate. Make a one-time donation. Or enter a world of fun. Ooh. And follow us in depth and see behind-the-scenes photos and lots of goodies on our Patreon. Once again, patreon.com/feastoffun. Karma, Ray Gold.
Nybarger.
Jones. Cleopatra. Yeah.
Cleopatra.
Alexandria. Extravaganza. Deluxe.
That's a good one. Cleopatra Gold.
Yeah, do that.
Cleopatra Gold.
Done.
It's done, honey. Thank you so much for coming on the show with
thank
us.
Thank you. This is fun.
Bye.
Bye.